بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters at home listening with the receiver, Alhamdulillah, last week the khulasa, the gist of what we heard last week was the ways of making islah. The first one was to find a suitable sheikh, a mentor, a guide, a sincere person who will guide you towards your road towards the akhirah, who will assist you in making tazkiyah of your heart, spiritually cleansing your heart, having that bond and ta'aluk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and staying away from all type of sins and vice and evil. So the moment a person does something wrong, then immediately an ilaj, a remedy is shown. If he's got pride, then this is the remedy. If it's hasad, this is the remedy. Whatever the spiritual disease is, then the sheikh, he will guide you. And we explain the qualities of such a sheikh. Simple qualities were mentioned. It's not difficult for us to find. Not like we've looked for some Imam Ghazali to be present here, rahmatullah alayh, or some Shibli, rahmatullah alayh. Even in this day and age, we can find, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as-sadiqeen, some person, inshallah, who we can get some type of assistance to at least come onto this road towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If in the event we don't find a sheikh, then the second thing was to check, make islah via your very sincere bosom friend. You have a sincere friend, and he can show you your faults. Like we mentioned the story of Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, when Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala asked him genuinely, if I got any false defects in me, show it to me, please let me know. And then he mentioned one or two things that he found as a shortcoming in the life of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, who immediately accepted what he was shown. You and I would have frowned, we would have made some excuse and justified our action. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala was Amir al-Mu'mineen. He's a Ma'ashara Mubashara. And when Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala explained to him that I see you have got some extra kurta or extra material, or you've got extra food. So he found that to be incorrect or inappropriate for Amir al-Mu'mineen to have. Immediately he remedied that. If you don't have such a suitable friend who will find some or explain to you your faults and weaknesses, then Imam Ghazali rahmatullah mentioned, look at your enemy and see and wait for your enemy to point out your mistakes and errors. Like we mentioned the whole story of Mana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullahi alayh, that a person would keep on writing to him nasty letters and swear at him and use vulgar language, and after some time he found no letters were coming. He was blind and somebody would read out the letters to him, his khadim. So he asked his khadim, kya hua? Hamare ufula dost se koi khat nahi aa raha hai. So he said, Hazrat, actually he sent many letters, and even worse than before, but I could not read it out to you. I didn't have the heart to read those things to you. I didn't want you to get upset. He said, no, aisa mat karna. Let me hear what he's saying. Perhaps there are definitely things that he's mentioning which I am guilty of. There are those weaknesses found in me, and I can make islah of it. See, so from your enemy also, you can make your islah. And fourthly, Imam Ghazali Ramadhu said that even if you don't have this, then look at the community at large and see any weaknesses that you can see in them. If you find some weaknesses, then check in yourself. Do I have this weakness myself? Yes or no? So by looking at the community at large and you find some weakness in them, then you quickly check yourself. Do I have that weakness or not? These are four simple tariqa of making islah. Again, as we emphasized previously, that we have established the fact that we require to make islah. Without islah, then our akhirat is at stake, because we can leave this world not having the marifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, living a life full of evil, kibar, pride, hasad, all these things will wipe away our good deeds. And therefore, islah is imperative. One person, he heard some buzurg in his bayan, Ya Allah, pull me towards you. Apni taraf mujhe khinch dijiye. We hear sometime in the dua or some bayan, Allah must make jazb, Allah must pull us towards Him. So, He began to make the dua, he should go under one tree and make dua. Ya Allah, mujhe apni taraf khinj lijiye. Ya Allah, pull me, draw me towards you. He didn't understand the real meaning of this. He thought perhaps it's some physical pull that Allah will pull him towards Allah, Allah Ta'ala. So this is what he used to make the dua. Somebody going past heard him saying, oh Allah, ya Allah, mujhe khinj lijiye. So he was a bit of a rascal, mischievous person. So he goes and tell him, hey, come tonight, come under the tree tonight, and then you make this dua, you must call out to Allah, and then you see how he will help you. So he got very excited. That night he comes under the tree, Allah, mujhe apni taraf khinch lijiye, Allah, mujhe khinch lijiye, Allah, mujhe khinch lijiye. So the other person was already on the tree. He takes a rope, it is dark, he can't see. Takes a rope and he throws it down. In a very soft voice, he says, bas is rassi ko apne gale mein bandh dijiye. Take this rope and tie it around your neck. And main tujhe khinchunga, I will pull you towards me. So he's very happy, he does this, puts this rope around his neck. And slowly that person is lifting him up. As he came just one hand span off the ground, suddenly the rope started tightening around his neck. And he began choking. And when he saw he couldn't manage, he began to scream, Ya Allah, mujhe mat khinch, Ya Allah, don't pull me, don't pull me, don't pull me. So this person then released him. So he releases himself and he goes away from there. They have written, they said, uske baad is darakht ke niche baithne ka naam bhi nahi liya. After that, he didn't even take the name of going near the tree. Whenever he talks about the tree, he'll go past as though he can't see the tree. He was so scared to even go near the tree. Oh, Mashaykh and Buzughan, the Buzughan Adin say that same thing in tasawwuf, in tazkiyah. We want the way Islah to take place. But we're looking for some very unique and extremely sahal nuskha. Something that's like a magic wand. Some sheikh must just come with a magic wand. And bas overnight you're the buzruk, the wali of the zamana, and your tazkiyah is made and you're purified. We're looking for some very, very instant and very simple. Yes, simple you'll find, inshallah. But we're looking for a very easy way out. We do not want to go through the mujahada. The moment it's coming round our neck, the rope is tightening, we're giving up. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, O Mawla Wasiul Rahmatul mentioned, Salik, person who is in this path of tasawuf, genuinely wants to make tazkiyah. Salik, salik nahi raha is zamane mein. In this day and age, salik is not a true salik, one who is really, you know, listening to the sheikh, following the prescriptions, making amal on what is being said, checking himself, trying desperately to make islah. He's crying to Allah, making dua. The moment he does something wrong, he finds some weakness in his life, immediately he goes to his mentor, he asks him, I've done this wrong, please show me the way out. So the salik is no longer doing this. Balki salik malik ban gaya hai. The salik has become a malik, a master. He is dictating. When he feels like saying something, writing to a sheikh, he will write. I was hearing on bayan, Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi rahmatullahi alayhi. We've read many of his malfuzats previously and recently also. Hazrat Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi rahmatullahi alayhi was the Khalifa of Hazrat Thani rahmatullahi alayhi. Prior to that, he was a homeopath doctor, a very mashur, famous doctor in homeopath medicine in Karachi, in Pakistan. And it is mentioned he even studied law and even practiced some law, but he could not feel that itminan in his heart. He wasn't feeling very good. So he goes to Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, takes bayat to Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali. He's looking for direction in his life. And of course, he became such a wali of Allah, such a wali of Allah, of such caliber, that Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, who was the Grand Mufti of Pakistan, Grand Mufti of Pakistan. And he has done sterling work in different fields, in ilm, fiqh, tafsir, ma'arif al-Quran, very famous commentary of his. It's such a commentary the ulama cannot do without. It's in Urdu and English also translated. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was a very high khalifa, very great khalifa of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali. Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi Rahmatullah Ali is his peer bhai, also Khalifa of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah has sons like Mufti Taqi Usmani, Damat Barakatuhum, Allah give him long life, afiyat, Allah protect him. You know, he was recently, there was an attempt made to take away his life, Allah protected him. He has done ajeeb work in the whole Muslim world, and such a person is a very, very valuable person. Nonetheless, he and his brother Mufti Rafi Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, is elder than Mufti Taqi Sahib. Both of them are great ulama. Great ulama. Their father's mashura and hukam is because they would go to their father again and again. Abbaji, now you please, you have to make us bayat to you. Very rare you see a son taking bayat to his father. Any case, they were begging. He refused, refused, and finally he tells them, go to Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi Rahmatullahi. So they listen to their father, they go. And Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi Rahmatullah Ali then molded them and made the Islah. In fact, there was a certain period of their life where Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi Rahmatullah Ali stopped them even. He stopped them from giving bayans. No bayans for them. Yet they were orators, they were very good speakers. Why? To make the Islah. That's another subject on its own. Nonetheless, Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi Rahmatullah Ali, so much more to say about him. Last week I said, you see this Buzghani Deen, Akabir, Ulama-i Dioband we talk about. They were not small people. They were chosen people by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The problem is we don't know their seerat, their life history. We don't know their taqwa. We haven't read properly about their wara, the ibadat, the husnul akhlaq they had, not to give anybody taklif, the love for sunnah and the ittiba of sunnah. Unbelievable. So because we don't read about that, we don't know about that, we'll mention the names and for us it means nothing. And then some bright spark will tell us, don't follow that Indo-Pak ulama. Follow this person, that person. See, shaitan's attempt, what is his endeavor? To take us away from haq. I'm not saying others are not on haq. But these people, volumes and volumes have been written. This deen has come into our country. Also a great sacrifice of these ulama that came to our shores, and our ulama went there and studied Darun Dioban, our Hazrat Murana Rahmatullah, himself studied Darun Dioban, and he would say himself, his Ustad Sheikh Fakhruddin Rahmatullah, we're digressing now, so I mustn't miss the point of Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi Rahmatullah. He used to say, tell me himself, that as though, so we must listen very carefully, we delete and we add on our own, so we give a wrong explanation. He said, as though, as a Sheikh Fakhruddin Rahmatullah, when you should look at him, like a farishta sitting there. He was so old, in his 90s, teaching Bukhari Sharif for hours on end, hours. Maulana used to say, Rahmatullah Ali, after Isha, there was half sabak, and normally, Sheikh Fakhruddin Rahmatullah Ali would come in a wheelchair. He was very, very ill, very weak. So they would give him Sahara support to even go onto the wheelchair and to walk. Come in the wheelchair to the class, but in the class for the period after Isha till 12 o'clock, non-stop, in At-Tahiyyat position he's teaching, not on a chair even, Tashahud position, not even sitting cross-legged, sitting in At-Tahiyyat position. Maulana should see the students be churning this way, that way, our legs will get tired, and exactly 12 o'clock, without any clock in front of him. He say, bas, Allah Allah khair sallah. Kitna baja hai? Baza 12 baj raha hai. Bas. And wa akhiru dawana. And then suddenly again, they have to carry him, put him in the wheelchair. But for that period, sit adab, adab, adab for the Kitab of Bukhari, Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi Rahmatullah Ali, he used to write to Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali every single week in his life. Till Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah was alive, to his sheikh, he would write every week to his sheikh. Never he missed any letter or correspondence. So can you imagine? These were great ulama themselves. Yet they found the need to keep on going back, checking with the asatiza, with the shuyukh, with the mentors, for guidance. Again, how much more important it is for us. Not difficult. We'll look for excuses. We'll say, no, he's very busy, this person is very busy, everybody's busy. So in the doctor's surgery, when the queue is so long, what do? We still wait for our turn to come. So we'll wait until your turn comes so that they can diagnose and see and help you. Allah Ta'ala give all of us tawfiq and hidayat. A salik should become a true salik. Salik must not become malik and then dictate and feel everything, whatever I want must happen. Then we're looking, that's a dream. Allah has got a nizam. All our mashayikh, ulama, they went through this entire procedure, a process. And after all this, a little bit of effort on our side, nothing very great, nothing difficult. Allah has not made anything so difficult beyond our grasp, something which is way beyond our possibilities to try and achieve something. No, Allah is so kind. Allah is so kind. In this stage, in day and age especially, a little bit of effort, little bit of effort, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make His khas nusrat and madad come. I was hoping to discuss today, inshallah, one incident that took place in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah talks about it in Surah Hujurat in the 26th juz, wherein some people came, and it was in the late afternoon when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was resting, and they wanted to inquire from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam some problem, some masala or something. So from outside, they are shouting, Ya Muhammad, O Ya Rasulullah. The Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is either resting in his house or is preoccupied with work at home. Ulama and Mashayikh have written, the life of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was totally different from our lives in the sense that his entire life was passing on the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one is in the masjid when Sahaba is sitting in his company, whilst he is in the path of Allah, why is coming out of the masjid, wherever he was, all the time making tabligh of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Commanding the sahaba to do good. If there was any errors, then he would direct them and show them their weaknesses. He would prohibit them from doing certain things. His entire life. When he goes home also, Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha would ask Rasulullah sallam tafsir of various verses of the Quran. Ya Rasulullah sallam, what's the meaning of this verse? And he would explain to her, and that is why we find that the knowledge of deen Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha had, despite being so young, only 18 years of age when Rasul left this world, she had acquired so much of knowledge, so much of masail, so many ahadith. She's, I think, 2,220 plus ahadith she has narrated herself. So that great sahaba behind parda and hijab had to come and ask her for answers and solutions regarding various masail, which they did not have the answer for. And it was a matter pertaining to Rasulullah and herself and his wives. And as we say, garelu mamla, inside the house, which was beyond the scope of sahaba to know. So they would come and ask her these questions. Many tafsir too they would ask her. So in the house, Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would give ta'lim also. Of course, he would see to the needs of his wives, and also he would be engrossed in mending his shoes, milking the goat, sweeping the house. He was a human being, also he required rest. Besides the ibadat he'll make, long sajdas, rukus, qiyam, qirat, tasbihat. So these people came out, not being considerate of Rasulullah some aram. Perhaps he's preoccupied, from outside he's shouting, Ya Muhammad, Ya Muhammad! Answer us, answer us. Allah Ta'ala sent down the verse, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُنَادُونَكَ مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْحُجُرَاتِ أَكْثَرُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Those who are calling out from behind the quarters of the Azwaj Mutahharat, they're calling out, shouting out to you. أَكْثَرُمْ, most of them do not have understanding. They're jahil. لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Common sense will say, but the man is not there, let us wait for him to come. This is the adab. This was the adab Allah Ta'ala wanted from the Bedouins who came, O Sahaba, regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ إِلَيْهِمْ لَكَانَ خَيْرٌ لَهُمْ. Allah says, if only they made sabr and they waited until you, O Muhammad sallam, emerge from your house and go to them, that would have been better for them than shouting and screaming and compelling you to come out. So our mashayikh, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Alayhi, Adab Uzghani Deen, have mentioned an adab. This mazmoon has been written by Shah Wasiullah Rahmatullahi. He was again a very great Khalifa of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi. But in Tasawwuf, I mentioned last week, we had Imam Ghazali Rahmatullahi and many, many other great people. From our Kabir again, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi. Books and books and books on Masail of Suluk, Tazkiyah, all these things in different, different ways. Some of the things is written for Ulama-i Kiram. There's a kitab, two volumes, Tuhfatul Ulama, a gift for Ulama. When you read that waaz of Hazrat Thani or the Malfuz, that it is as though he's living with us in this day and time. And he's observing what's happening and directing the Ulama-i Kiram. That's why he was known as Hakim al-Ummah. Allah chose them. Not that they chose those titles for himself, no, never. People, the students and Murideen had seen, and Ulama of the time gave them those titles. So real Hakim al-Ummah. So nonetheless, Hakim al-Ummah Khalifa, this is Shah Wasiullah Ramadan. The other famous was Mullah Masihullah Ramadan. He was Jalalabad. This is Mullah Wasiullah Ramadan from Allahabad. So he mentions this verse in this Mazmoon, and then he talks about the mansab, the status of prophethood, messengerhood of Rasulullah, mansab of Risalat. What is the adab, the etiquettes? And there he mentioned this, that the verse, وَلُوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ إِلَيْهِمْ. Why? Perhaps Rasulullah is busy, and I explained to you the things that he would do in his home generally, and therefore it is not possible for him to see to the needs immediately. So it would have been better for them to wait and then for Rasulullah to emerge and see to his needs. And even if Rasulullah came out of his good akhlaq, which he always displayed, and he came to see them, but they mention that it would not have been beneficial for them as much as if Rasulullah came to them on his own accord, happily, with inshirahi sadr. What is inshirahi sadr? One is a person is compelled to see to you. The other one, himself happily is coming out to see you. And when he's coming happily to see you, to see to you and to your need, then his heart is more wide, more spacious, and he'll give you even more time. Then that person will come out to you because now, out of respect, whatever it is, but now he won't be able to give you that large heartedness. And that is why they mention also that in shirahi qalb ke waqt faiz ziyada hota hai. When that sheikh, in this case, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would speak to the Sahaba in this condition, that where he is now, has rested, finished whatever work he has had, and now at his ease and comfort, there will be more benefit and barakat for those people who came for whatever needs they had. Exactly the same, when we go to mashayikh and ulama, we're talking about the great scholars, it's an adab, it's a time, we make an appointment. We don't just tell a person, Marana, you can get the whole world, can't get you. The person will overlook it. Obviously, it's easier to get the president of the country than getting you. We expect the person, because of this WhatsApp now, and all this social media, you expect him to answer every person. You are not the only person asking him. There are thousands of people, believe me. And now with email, people from America and the UK and the whole world, and they've got different times. So they might not know this is a program now. At least you know this is a program. You know it is salah time. Whereas namaz is on, you're expecting him to answer your call. You know from a certain time the man will be in the masjid. After you see a missed call, whatever it is, and you phone the person, no, you can't even get you. So, but it's time for namaz. I was in a masjid. Now every time you keep on saying this, it becomes difficult. And not for me, I'm talking about the other greater people. But this is adab for us. We must learn. So when there's inshirah of the sadr, now there's a phase will be ziyada. It will be more beneficial for you. Then Hazrat Wasiullah Ramadan has mentioned some sahaba, Hazrat Abi Ubaid radiallahu ta'ala, he has mentioned that مَا دَقَقْتُ بَابًا عَلَىٰ عَالِمٍ حَتَّى يَخُجَ فِي وَقْتِ خُرُوجِهِ. I never knocked on the door of any alim, I went to ask any masla, until he emerged. This is adabat. Great person like Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu. He is known as the mufassir of this ummah. Nabi Karim said, made special dua for him. I explained many, many occasions now. So we're not going to go into the detail. Nonetheless, he will go to Hazrat Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala, who was the qari of this ummah. He would go to learn some Quran by him. When he would go, he would sit outside and wait. He would knock on the door, he'll sit outside and wait until one day Hazrat Ubay bin Ka'ab comes out, he sees him sitting there. Abdullah, why are you not knocking on my door? How long have you been sitting here? He says, no. It is against the adab. I have come to you. You are my ustad. You are my ustad. I will wait for you until you come to me. So that is what he said. In fact, he mentioned something like this to this effect. That like how in Nabi and his people, please don't misconstrue again. Anbi alayhi salatu wasalam no longer is finished. Khatamun Nabi was Rasulullah. There's no Nabi to come. Anybody proclaims he's a Nabi, he is false. He's a kadhab, he's a liar. So nobody can claim prophethood today. But the explanation here is to show the adab etiquette of that alim amongst his people is like how a Nabi amongst his people. In other words, the same adab you're supposed to show, and that is why Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala did not disturb Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala. Whatever it is, he said, I would wait. Like this, find so many sahaba. One sahabi went, traveled distant, a very far distance, miles upon miles in the desert. All he went to find out if that particular sahabi directly heard a hadith from Rasulullah. That's all. And when he went, it was already time, afternoon, so he must be resting. So he waited and he waited and he waited. Until that sahabi emerged. Allah, but you are here. When did you arrive? He said, some time ago. Why didn't you knock on my door? He said, no. Khilaf of adab. Adab is so important in our lives. Our mashayikh, again, Indo-Pak. These Buzaghan-e-Din, which is some Indo-Pak, they had true adab in their lives. Now we're not looking down upon any other group of people, any person, but generally we find many times today that adab is, people are losing it, even our times now. Simple thing, in those days our Quran Sharif had a juzdan. I can still remember in ours when we were young, a juzdan was properly sewn with a string around it. We would always hold the Quran by our heart, holding the right hand. All this is gone today. See, shaitan teaches man taraqqi. So the Quran is where now? On your cell phone. On your app. There's no juzdan. There's no keeping it on this high place. There's no Hazrat Ikrimah radiallahu ta'ala. Sahabi of Rasulullah. When he would hold the Quran, he'd kiss it. هذا كتاب ربي هذا عهد ربي. This is my last kitab. My last kitab. Reverence for Quran Sharif. It is mentioned regarding Mullah Badri Alam Rahmatul Ali, pastor in Madinah Munawwara, buried in Jannatul Baqi. And he's buried right in the beginning. I don't know exactly where his qabr is, but ulama have mentioned very close. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah also is very close with the Azwaj Mutahharat, the Ummahatul Mu'mineen. And Mullah Badri Alam also not very far. Some person mentioned as they were carrying janaza, one Shaykh said, Huna, 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 here, bury him here. Right in the entrance somewhere. Close, not even far. And he was a great person, very great person. Somebody asked, there must be some quality. So according to what we have heard from ulama, mashayikh, saying Mala Aftab Alam was his son, he mentioned that yes, my father never faced his legs towards any hafiz of the Quran. Even when he was at home, in the night also, he knows that hafiz is there, and especially to his asatiza. The ulama have mentioned, there are people, ulama in this world who came, if they are living in one city and that ustad who taught him alif, ba, ta, tha in the maktab, he won't face his legs towards the house of that ustad. See how the zamana has changed. Again, salik, salik nahi raha, salik, malik ban gaya. The salik is now dictating. He'll tell, the student will tell the ustad what to do today. Murid will tell the sheikh what to do. That's how we have become. So no adab. I know of one person, elderly. In fact, it's my great-grandmother. She was unable to read the Quran. But every single day, she would make proper wudu, sit down and hold the Quran. And she would pass a finger over every word in the Quran. Like that. Carry on, reading, carry on, until she finished her khatam. And she couldn't see very well. So So my grandmother used to say, sometimes they should laugh at her. They were young also. Sometimes she had the Quran upside down. And she says, Ma, you got it wrong. She says, no, I got it right. But look at this. Who knows what Allah Ta'ala, what how he'll make the najat of the person. Adab they had. We have heard from Hazrat Mawlana Rahmatullah. And many other ulama in Buzughani Deen. There was an elderly couple. Somebody gifted them a Quran. They had such a love and reverence for the Quran. They did not know how to wait to keep it that night. So the husband, half the night, held the Quran upon his head. Second half of the night, the wife held it in her. I've heard they said, after that, when Allah Ta'ala accepted that amal, Allah made both of them hafiz of the Quran. Simple thing in the Quran. We must teach our children adab. Ad-deenu kulluhu adab. Deen, the entire deen is adab, 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 adab. I think we'll stop here, inshallah. Next week we'll continue, inshallah. There's so much of adab that we bring into our lives. And inshallah, once we bring this adab, they say, to benefit ilmi zahiri and batini. Zahir ilm is what we learn from Quran, hadith. And batin is the spiritual, the nuraniyat, ruhaniyat. For both, for both. One is mehnat, mujahada. A student has to go to madrasa, he has to study, go to some alim, he has to learn. And for batin also, we have to go, as I mentioned, to a sheikh who will explain to us. And also the second thing you need is dua. Dua of the ustad. Dua of the sheikh. These two things are vital. And to enable yourself to get dua from your ustad, you got to have adab. No adab, you won't get the dua. If you have the adab, you'll get the dua. And with the dua, you mean mujahada. Inshallah, the euro to tazkiyah, it becomes easy. So we find in the kitabs of hadith, kitabul adab. And very briefly, and we end off this, the word adab in Arabic is derived from a word called ma'duba. Perhaps first time we're hearing it. But I remember mentioning this one bayan, Jummah bayan. Ma'duba. Ma'duba in Arabic means dastarkhan. What is dastarkhan? Dastarkhan is not only the material that we place down, the tablecloth, no. The food that we have is also called ma'duba. It's also called the dastarkhan, means the tablecloth with all the different food we have. Now somebody gives us a da'wat, and mashallah, he lays it out. We'll have variety of food. There's chicken, there's fish, there's steak, whatever it is, there's savories, there's milkshake, there's different type of things, different type of juices, dessert. Of course, South Africans, we don't have to describe, we know what it is exactly. So, ma'duba, there's variety of different delicacies, and nice, very tasty food. Like that, adab, there's sabr, there's shukr, there's qanaat, there's zuhud, different good qualities and traits. That is adab. How we have different variety of tasty, delicious food, like that these are traits and characteristics and qualities from Quran and Hadith and Sunnah, which we have to bring into our life. May Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq and hidayah to make amal. Keep these majlises short so we can digest, inshallah. Inshallah next week, if Allah give us tawfiq and hidayah and health and life, we will continue this. This is a majlis on adab, which requires many more majalis, but inshallah we'll try and see what we can do next week with Allah's fazl, if we can explain to the best of our ability. Give Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka.